Good morning. Today's daf in Nazir Chaf. We are starting New Testament base. We're going to be starting with the Mishnah. And the Mishnah knows a Nazir's Harbi. So a person took on himself multiple Nazir's, the Vehisham is Nazir's O. And finishes Nazir's Vachachach Balaritz and then comes to Eretz Yisrael. So our Mishnah over here is going to be tackling the issue, the topic of accepting upon yourself to be a Nazir at the outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, in order to appreciate and understand this Mishnah, just a little bit of background is necessary, and that is that we know that if you're a Nazir and your Tami Tumas Meis, so that's it. In other words, you are going to be losing your Nazirus. Any days you counted up until that point in time now is going to be forfeited. You're going to have to be Tahor, or you're going to have to go through the Tahor process. And then after the Tahor process, then you can start recounting again. Yesterday, we spent a lot of time going over exactly precisely when are you able to start rebooting your Nazirus and recounting your Nazirus from anew. Good. So far so good. Our mission now is going to be describing simply whether or not becoming a Nazir outside of Eretz Yisrael works or doesn't work. Now, to understand that and appreciate that, so we have to know about Gzeira D'Rabbanan. There's Gzeira D'Rabbanan that once you walk outside of Eretz Yisrael, so there's what's called Tumas Ha'amim. So that's a term that you're going to be hearing a couple times at the beginning of today's daf, the first sugya of today's daf, which really is going to take us to the end of the, it's going to take us to the end of the perek, and that is Tumas Ha'amim, that all the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael are subject to Tumah. As a gzera d'rabbanan. Now, why the chachamim make such a gzera? So, the simplest explanation, and probably the most correct, is because in Eretz Yisrael, when they bury somebody, so they're extraordinarily careful to mark off exactly where they bury. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, however, people are not that careful to mark off exactly where they're buried, and there's a chance that the area that you're walking over, the land that you're walking on, in fact, has mace buried under it, remains underneath. And you walked over it, and so therefore you're subject to Tumas Ha'amim. Now again, the chance of that happening is not, right? In other words, if we're going with just simple statistics, chances are is that you're not walking over a mace, but nevertheless, there does exist that possibility. What the Chachamim did is that the Chachamim slapped a general ban and a general prohibition, a general Tumah on anyone who's walking outside of Eretz Yisrael. What exactly outside of Eretz Yisrael is going to be Metameh you? So it's going to be one of two possibilities. Either it's going to be the Gush, the land itself, meaning actual making contact with the land, or it's going to be the avir. It's going to be even the airspace. Okay. As we'll learn together, it's going to be significant whether the gzera is going on the gush on the avir. So that's coming up in just a little bit. I'm just right now giving us the vocabulary so that we really appreciate the sugya as it's going to be presented in front of us. So over here, the Mishnah is just dealing with a very simple scenario in which you became a Nazir outside of Eretz Yisrael, and then what happens is that you go to Eretz Yisrael. So now what? Okay, so with all that stated, let's see the Mishnah inside. Right, Phil's question was bothered by the same question as well. Phil's question is that the Mishnah's point could have been made with one Nazirus. Right. Tosus is of the position that we're talking about, even if it's a longer one. Meaning, Nazir's Harbe over here does not mean multiple Nazirios. It means just a longer Nazirus.
So what
okay, fair question. Fair question. So, and I don't know. So Misha knows a Nazir's Harbe. So a person now is going to be taking on upon himself even a longer Nazirus. Vehishlim is Nazirus. So, and what happens now is that he successfully counts as Nazirus. It just happens to be that up until that point in time, he was still in Chutz Aretz. And afterwards, he comes into Eretz Yisrael. Beishamay Omrim Nazir Shoshim Yom. Ubeizel Omrim Nazir Betchila. And so now, Machlok is between Beishamay and Beizelam. So Beishamay is of the position that you have to be a Nazir for 30 days. 30 additional days, but that's it. Meaning, regardless of how long you were a Nazir and successfully counted your Nazirs outside of Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, Beishamay says that we're going to tack on and only tack on an additional 30 days. However, Beizel Omrim Nazir Betchila, and Beisel says, no, you have to start again. You have to start your Nazirus anew, and regardless of how many days you counted outside of Eretz Yisrael, and even if you successfully counted them, nevertheless, once you come into Eretz Yisrael, so mehatchala, you have to start again from the beginning. So Maisa beHilni Amaka, the Gemara tells the following episode regarding Hilni Amaka. Shahalach benela milchama ve'amra. So her son went to war, and she made the following declaration. Im yavo b'ni min so upon the successful return of my son from battle, so I'm going to become a Nazira for 7 years. Good. Again, by the way, certainly a theme that we've seen already numerous times is that the commitment to becoming Nazir, a Nazir, in this case a Nazira, is basically to add extra zechuyos. In other words, I know it's such a tension in that becoming a Nazir Nazira, bad thing, right? That was yesterday's daf. We just go back to yesterday. We don't need it. We don't even need a long-term memory. And it's not good to become a Nazir. It's not good to be Nazir hashkafically. The Torah doesn't want us to live an ascetic life. But meanwhile, it's a mitzvah, and it provides an extra zechus. And so she takes upon herself to be a Nazira if her son successfully comes back from battle. The Hilni Amaka was from Zerach Hashmonaim. That Rashi brings that down in a number of Gemaras. And so whether she was Jewish, not Jewish, right, or right, not Jewish converted. Okay, so right, there's a lot to discuss on the historical grounds of it. I'm not here for the history, but I'm here for the halacha and for today's daf. And so what happens is as follows: Uva benamina machama, so vaisa nizir shavashanim. So now the story goes like this. So her son came back and she had a pledge and she kept her pledge and she was a Nazir now for 7 years. But all this was outside of Eretz Yisrael. And then, Vasov Shevashanim Alta Laretz, and then at the end of 7 years, she came into Eretz Yisrael and Vahoru Beisil Shetei Nazira Od Sheva Shanim Acheros. And, and Beisil says that now she's got to be Nazira for an additional 7 years. Vasov Shevashanim Nit Meis. And then at the end of those 7 years, she becomes Tmeya. V'nimsa Nazira Esrim V'achas Shana. So now, her trajectory now extended to 21 years. 7 years turned into 21 years. And the reason why it turned into 21 years is because, again, according to Beis Hillel, what happened was is that she was a Nazira outside of Eretz Yisrael. And that was, that doesn't count for anything. So going into Eretz Yisrael now forces her to count an additional 7 years. At the end of that second year, 7 years, she becomes Tmeya, which now again, that knocks out all the days she counted prior. Then that requires her to count another 7 years. So you get to a total of 21 years. Good. I'm Rav Yehuda, lo hayta Nazira ela arba asrei shana. And Rav Yehuda says that she was a Nazira not for 21 years, but rather 14 years. Obviously, Rav Yehuda is arguing with our first viewpoint, but there are many questions which the Gemara is going to ask. And that is Rav Yehuda what? Is arguing with the facts, arguing halachically. Where exactly is Rav Yehuda arguing on? What point is he arguing on? Within whose lens is he speaking? So all this is going to be discussed in the Gemara and in coming up in just a moment.
Wasn't the
Nazirus
interrupted by the
tomb of the Ramona? Everything's on the table right now. I'm going to leave it undefined. And in a minute, the Gemara is going to come back and the Gemara is going to discuss.
So you could become a Nazira Chutz Ha'aretz?
Outside the land of Israel? Yeah, so that's a great question. In other words, so the idea over here, according to Beis Hillel, meaning should you be committing yourself to becoming a Nazir Nazira outside of Eretz Yisrael, the answer would seem to be no. Meaning because once you come into Eretz Yisrael, so then you have to count again. And so was there any benefit whatsoever to doing it outside of Eretz Yisrael? So I'm not sure. Meaning the Gemara tells us a story where she did. So in other words, in those first 7 years, were they totally a waste of time? Did they have any value to it whatsoever? I'm asking the questions. I don't know the answer. I think the question's excellent. I think it's excellent. I don't know.
What I'm asking is that the tumor interrupts the zeros usually. But the tumor of Rabbona doesn't?
Right. Again, according to Beis Hillel, everything she did outside of Eretz Yisrael is going to have to be done again. According to Beis Hillel. Okay. Good. So, Ketani Reisha Beis Shammai Amrim Shoshima Beis Hillel Amrim Nazir B'tchila. Okay, so now let's start off simple. Although I say it's simple, it's not so simple, but let's start off simple. We know that we have a machlokus in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Good. You did Naziris outside of Eretz Yisrael. So according to Beis Shammai, it's good, but you know what? When you come into Eretz Yisrael, do another 30 days. Okay? So that's Shitas Beis Shammai. Regardless of how long your Naziris was and how, in other words, but you kept those days, you counted those days outside of Eretz Yisrael. But you know what? When you come into Eretz Yisrael, good. Tack on another 30 days. Do 30 days in Eretz Yisrael. That's Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel says, no, do the whole thing again. Okay. So that's the machlokus in the Mishnah. And the Gemara would like simple pshat in that machlokus. What's going on over there? So Beis Shammai Amrim, I'm just sorry, I'm rereading. Ketani Reisha Beis Shammai Amrim Nazir Shoshim Yom Beis Hillel Amrim Nazir B'tchila. So Lema B'hakim Mitzlagi. So the Gemara makes the following suggestion, and that is Beis Shammai Sarvei Al Eretz Amim Mishum. Now the word I'm going to say next is Avira, and I will tell you why momentarily. right, in the Gemara. So it says the word Gusha, but I'm going to replace it with Avira. Okay, to be explained in just a moment. So Mishum Avira Gazur Aleha, Ubeis Hillel Savre, we're on the top of Chaf Amud Aleph. Ubeis Hillel Savre, Mishum, now I know the word you're seeing in front of you is Avira. We're going to change that word to Gusha. Gazur Aleha. Okay. All that wasn't very helpful. I just read the Gemara. I changed a couple of words. What's happening over here? So let's take a look together. Okay, so for today, in other words, again, the Tosfos in might say outside, but today I'm going to read the Tosfos inside, just in terms of explaining simple pshat of the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So we turn our attention to a Tosfos over here, top Tosfos on Chaf Amud Aleph. So lema b'hakamithel gita Beit Shammai sav eretz amim mishum gusha gazru, or Beit Hillel savri mishum avira gazru. So he is working with the girsa that we just found in the Gemara. So and he writes, okay, so if I may, just to say this outside, what bothers Tosfos is the following. Meaning, in the girsa that we have in our Gemara, the one that I just steamrolled right over. So in the girsa that we have in our Gemara, according to Beit Shammai, there is a gzeira de rabbanan about tuma in chutz aretz. Good. And even if it is just limited to the gush, which the ground, which the Gemara says is the svara behind Beit Shammai, the Gemara says, I don't get it. Meaning, Tosfos says, I don't get it. Because if there is a gzeira de rabbanan, a tuma de rabbanan on the land itself, on the physical land itself, and obviously that's what you're standing on, so then, why would Beit Shammai say that when you go into Eretz Yisrael, just wrap up another 30 days and you're good? Even if you made a 7-year commitment, wrap up another 30 days. I don't understand. Meaning, are you Tameh, yes or no? Yeah, you stood on the ground in Chutz Aretz, you're Tameh. It may be a Tumah de Rabbanan, but so what? You're Tameh. And all those days that you counted are for naught. And so therefore, it should be Soster everything. So what Tosfos says is that in the Girsa that we have currently in our Gemara, what would be the svara for Beit Shammai to say, really, it was good? Just tack on another 30 days. It doesn't make sense. So, lechach nira, lechay nira de girsa ibcha. So, Tosfos says that I am convinced that the girsa should be flipped. Meaning, the way that I read it in the Gemara, not the way we have it in the Gemara, but the way I read it. Meaning, I knew the Tosfos coming up. So, in anticipation, so I read it the way Tosfos is presenting it. And here's the svara of Tosfos. So according to Beis Hillel, the gzera is going on land and on air. The gzera is an all-encompassing gzera, not just the actual land, but the air as well. Mashenkin, according to Beis Hillel, the gzera is only on the gush, on the land. And now the imtomar, v'hashanami my time to Beis Shammai. So let's understand what's the reason behind Beis Shammai. So, So the Gemara says, so now it needs a svara. Meaning for Beit Shammai, the gzera is more encompassing, and therefore it could be more makel. What? So Tosfos explains. V'yesham adein achinami. Correct. And here's how we're going to present it. Look. There's a gzera of Tumas Ha'amim, which now we're saying that Freshitas Beit Shammai is covering both land and air. Meaning that even if you are in just the airspace alone, making no physical contact with the ground, even being insulated in a box, as long as you're in the airspace of Tumas Ha'amim, you're subject to Tame, to being Tame. So over here, and that immediately becomes recognizable to everybody. This is just but a tuma de rabbanan. No. So lakach sagilai delister shoshimam de lo michlefa betuma de raisa. Since everyone recognizes immediately that this is a tuma de rabbanan, so that means that min ha-Torah. Were you a nazir? Sure. Did you count your day successfully? Sure. It's only because of a gzera de rabbanan, because of the tuma de rabbanan, that the chachamim said, you know what, count again when you go into Eretz Yisrael. But because it's so apparently recognizable that this is just but a tuma de rabbanan, so therefore, 30 days is sufficient. However, Beisol Savri Mishum Gusha Gazra Vikem the Dina Kikevet Savrich Shiestar Hakol Mishum de Michafa Eretz Amen Bikvaras. Meanwhile, what would be the halacha according to Beisil? Beisil says that the Gzera is only going on the Gush. It's only going on the physical ground itself. Oh. So in a way, it behaves, this Tumah de Rabbanan behaves almost identical to that of a Kever. Ah. So now that it's more confusing, because it looks more like a Tumah de Araisa, even though in essence, it's a Tumah de Rabbanan. But because it looks more like a Tumah de Araisa, so now people will say, ah, so this Tumah really is a Tumah de Araisa. Incorrectly, erroneously, people will think that. But we understand why people would think that. So therefore, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, so therefore what? Start again. So, Mishum de Michel Faerz, I'm in Bekvars, Kenyan Svarzu. Okay, Ika Beper Kohen Gadol. And Tosu says, and by the way, I know this is a counterintuitive explanation in the Gemara, but later in the Masechta, we're going to see it again. Okay. So it succinctly states, according to Tosfos, the Svaras right now the Gemara presents is that on behalf of Beis Shammai, the Tumas Ha'amim is actually more severe, more strict. However, because of that, everyone understands immediately, it's almost like self-evident, that it's a Din de Rabbanan, and therefore no one's going to come into Eretz Yisrael and now get all confused. Meaning that when you were a Nazir in Chutz Aretz, did it work? Sure. Did you count? Yes. Did that counting work in a Torah? Yes. Ah, but you know what? Go back into Eretz Yisrael and do 30 days in Eretz Yisrael. And of course the question begs why? Meaning if it worked in Chutz Aretz, why do it again? But okay. In other words, but do it again. But no one's going to get confused. But Masha Enkin, according to Beis Shammai, sorry. Masha Enkin, according to Beis Hillel, where the Tumah in Chutz Aretz looks very much like the Tumah, like a Tumah of Daraisa, even though it's not, even though it's a Tumah de Rabbanan. So for that reason, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you have to start counting anew. This is the way Tosfos presents the Gemara. It is running a little bit counterintuitive, but Tosfos defends it. We go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, after presenting this as a possible machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the Gemara says, on the other hand, lo. No. We're on the very top of Chaf Amud Aleph. We are... what's it called? Top line. So lo. The chule ama mishum avir gazru alau beishame savre stam nizirus kansina beisol savre ki kansina betchilas nizirus. Okay. And what the Gemara suggests is that no. Really the truth of the matter is everyone's of the position that's mishum avira. And again, I read the Gemara like Tosos prefers. Meaning Tosos, the next part of the Tosos, which I haven't read inside, goes on to say that no, according to everyone, the Tumas Amim is both on the Gush and on the Avir. Meaning that if I didn't know otherwise, we would have said like Beis Shammai. It's such an unusual Tumah. Everyone recognizes immediately, it's a Tumah Darabanan. It's not a Tumah Daraisa. So the truth of the matter is that really Shitas Beis Shammai would then make the most sense. Again, all this according to Tosfos. And then an explanation of Beis Hillel, which the Gemara just told us, is that why do you have to start anew? Kanas. As a penalty, as a rabbinic penalty, meaning that what you shouldn't have done is that you shouldn't have taken on Nazirus outside of Eretz Yisrael. Ah, you did. Ah, you counted it. And even though Me'ikara didn't really, it worked. But now that you're in Eretz Yisrael, so you know what? Count. And not only that, but count again. Everything anew. You had a one-year commitment, a full year in Eretz Yisrael. Good. V'chule v'chule. All right, so the machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel basically comes out to a kenas de Rabbanan, whether it was imposed or whether it was not imposed. Okay.
He couldn't return home for 14 years.
Ah. Now we get to the story of Hiloni Amaka. So Hiloni Amaka ends up becoming a Nazira. So now there are two versions of the story. Version number one of the story is 7 + 7 + 7. 7 outside of Eretz Yisrael, came back into Eretz Yisrael. So she asked, according to the school of thought of Beis Hillel. So they told her, no, start again. She did. She started again. And at the end of that second 7 years, she becomes Tamea. And so therefore, Nacha 7 years. Okay, good. So that's version number one of the story, 21 years in total. Mm-hmm. And then the Gemara quotes, B'shem Rabbi Yehuda, nah. It wasn't 21 years, 14 years. But with no explanation. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda just simply in the Mishnah says, 14 years, not 21 years. Okay, good. Okay, great talk. Meaning, and what is Rabbi Yehuda, where's his point of contention with the Tanakhama? That's the Gemara's discussion right now. So Maisa Behomi Amalka. So Ibailu. So exactly according to Rabbi Yehuda's version, meaning the first version is very clear. But according to Rabbi Yehuda's version, What happened? Meaning, Rav Yehuda says it wasn't 21 years, it was 14 years. Great. So really, there are two questions we can ask. A, what happened? And B, according to whom? Meaning, was Rav Yehuda subscribing to the Shita Beis Shammai? Was he subscribing to the Shita Beis Hillel? There are some very basic pieces missing in the Mishnah that need explanation. So, Ibai Lehu B'Shinit Meis. So the Gemara says, maybe what happens as follows. Is that she came into Eretz Yisrael, and what happened was, she had to count again, and how many days did she need to count? That really the truth of the matter is that the Rebbe Yehuda follows the Shita of Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, you don't have to count the full 7 years. All you need to do is count another 30 days. And what happens is that when she becomes Tamea, and that's why she has to actually count another 7 years. Okay. But in other words, it's 7 plus 7 and that's it. Now, I say 7 plus 7, there really is an additional 30 days. Okay. But 30 days between you and I? So, Odilma, Bishalonit Meis, Valiba de Beiselel. Or maybe no. Maybe what Rav Yehuda is arguing, point of contention is that you got just some of the story wrong. In other words, the story is that she was 7 years a Nazira Chosaretz. She comes into Eretz Yisrael, and who does she ask? She doesn't ask Beis Shammai. She asks Beis Hillel. What do I do? And Beis Hillel says, okay, be a Nazir for an additional 7 years. Maybe that's it. And maybe Tumah just simply wasn't part of the discussion at all. In other words, what Rav Yehuda is just arguing with is just simply the facts of the case. She didn't become Tamea. So Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you which way is the right way to say it. And that is Alta Larz Vahara Beisel Shatein Zero Chevashanim Acheres Vechule. So, let's go back and let's take a look at our Mishnah. In other words, in the Mishnah, it says that she came to Eretz Yisrael and Beisel told her that she should be an additional 7 years. So, that's the Tanakama. And then, in other words, we didn't quote the section of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, no, only 14 years. And if you're telling me that she really, the truth of the matter is that she was a Tamea, Valiba de Beis Shammai, and really we're going like she does Beis Shammai, Yachi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Lo Aisa, Nizira, Larba, Asre Shana, Arba, Asre Shana, Shosham Yami, Baile. So, meaning that if who she was asking was not Beis Hillel, but rather Beis Shammai, and the truth of the matter is that she did her 14 years outside of Eretz Yisrael. And then coming into Eretz Yisrael, so Beis Shammai says, you know what? Mostly good. Just tack on another 30 days. So then mention that, meaning Iker Chaser Min HaSefer. So then what you're missing is the most important part, which is, I know it's just 30 days, but that's really the entirety of the Shita of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai's whole position is that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, just tack on another 30 days. If really who she was asking was any Talmud of Beis Shammai, so then 30 days is really important, because that's really the whole Shita. So the Gemara is...
After the 30 days?
No, in other words...
It should be seven years and 3 months, and 30 days.
In other words, in the Rebbe Yehuda version, the additional 7 years was because she was Tamea, having nothing to do with her going to Eretz Yisrael. And then when she came to Eretz Yisrael, so then she asked Beis Shammai, what do I do? And Beis Shammai says, just do another 30 days. So it should be 14 years and 30 days. Okay. So Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara says, you're right. You're absolutely right. Rav Yehuda Amar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. So here we go now. And I don't know how many times we cited this halacha. It's been at least two, maybe three already. Anyway. And that is, the pasuk says, I'm a crow, Zos Taras HaNazir. So the next two words in the pasuk is Biyom Melos. So these are the days of a Nazir on the conclusion, meaning we are at the concluding day. And the drasha goes like this, Torah Amra, Chinitma Biyom Melos, that if you become Tamei on the last day, so Tein Lo Taras Nazir. So what you're going to do is that you're going to add on another 30 days. Okay? So this Shita of Rebbe Lazar is that, that if you in fact become Tamea on the final day, so all you need to do is become just simply a Nazir Nazira for additional 30 days, and that would be sufficient. So it's, if in fact the case under discussion was that she was Tamea on the final day of her Naziris, So then it doesn't upset the entire Nazir. So it's the only thing it's going to upset is only just an additional 30 days. A requirement to count only 30 days. Meaning, if in fact Rav Yehuda subscribed to the Shita of Beit Shammai, and we know Rav Yehuda subscribes to the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, so it really should be 7 years, plus another 30 days, and then when she go into Eretz Yisrael, plus another 30 days. So 7 years and 60 days. So by virtue of the fact that that's not what happened, so then there must be that she was not asking in the Shita of Beit Shammai, in the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, but rather she was asking within the Shita of Beis Hillel. Meaning, yeah. So meaning to say that the proper way to understand Shita's Rabbi Yehuda is that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing not on who she was asking, but just on the detail, on the fact. Right? What happened was that she was a Nazira for 7 years outside of Eretz Yisrael, and then Pashut. She came into Eretz Yisrael, and she wanted to know, what do I do? And who did she ask? Beis Hillel. And what did Beis Hillel say? Do it again. Count again.
Isn't
Knas
usually a fixed amount?
Yeah. So here the fixed amount is?
No, I mean, it's based on the
variable. I do hear. In other words, normally Knas is 30 shkalim, and 100, you're right. Correct. It does serve as a fixed amount, but Kefal, for example, would be a good example of what we're describing over here. So Kefal's two times whatever the value of theft was. Over here, similar. Okay. So, good. Misha haya, we're up to the last Mishnah of the parak. Misha haya shtei kitei edim me'idos oso eilu me'idim shenazer shtayim ve'eilu me'idim shenazer chamesh be'shamei omrim nechlugu eidos ve'ein kan nazirus be'sol omrim yish b'chal chamesh shtayim shei nazir shtayim. Okay. So our final Mishnah over here in this parak is a funny Mishnah in the sense of the person declared himself to be a nazir multiple times. However, conflicting testimony in terms of how many times he declared himself to be a Nazir. Okay. Now, I say it's a funny Mishnah because, generally speaking, when we have Eidus, Eidus usually comes in the form of, right, there's a crime that was committed, or there was a monetary, it's a civil case, and there's a question of how much money is owed from one party to another. And so, therefore, the Eidim there function as either witnesses to a crime, or in the civil case, witnesses to how much money was owed. Over here, it's not criminal, it's not civil. It's a question now of how many times did he declare to be a Nazir? Okay. So it is unusual, meaning it's kind of funny. It's a little bit strange in order to figure out which category this belongs in. It doesn't belong in any category, really.
It's religious.
It's right. It's religious edus. Right. Perfect. It's religious edus. Okay. But be it that it's a little bit different than what we're normally used to hearing. But here we go, though, with a classic discussion of alignment of edus. Right. In the, I want to say correctly, fifth parak? I think so. In the fifth parak of Sanhedrin, it's a really short parak dedicated to this very topic of whether or not you can, in other words, different numbers were given. Over there, the issue was time of day. But whether or not there can be alignment between the numbers that were given, so over here, in order to take the Eidus and not throw it out the window, can we talk about, and here I take us back to our fifth grade math, lowest common denominator. Okay. So over here, Right. So can we go back to lowest common denominator? So one set of witnesses say that there were two Naziris that were committed to by this individual. And the other one says five. Okay, so one says two, the other says five. So you know, five does include the number two. So can we do that? Machlokis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel.
Why couldn't it be that two separate times and two and five?
Right, correct. So somehow we also have to know that they're describing the same commitment, right? Excellent point. Whatever, right? In other words, there were two different commitments that were made. Okay, could be. So Masis and Deloki Aitana. So the Gemara says, good. So what do we have in our Mishnah? It's a machlokus, and Beis Hillel subscribes to the idea of lowest common denominator, and Beis Shammai doesn't subscribe to it. Meaning, of course, he agrees to the idea, just the application over here. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah is not going like the following Brisa. So the Gemara says like this. Look, if the testimony that's provided were by two sets of Edom, one saying two and the other saying five. In other words, again, two meaning I heard him say that he's committing himself to two sets of Naziris, 30 and then another 30. And the other set of witnesses say, no, we heard the number five. Five sets of Nazirios, right? A set of one, a set of another, five times over. Good. So if, in fact, according to this Brisa, which is not going like our Mishnah, according to this Brisa, if one set of Edom said two, and the other say five, so then everyone will agree, meaning both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, lowest common denominator. In other words, that included in five, of course, is two, and this person is, in fact, going to be on the hook for two. So Amman Nechliku, so the Gemara says, good. So what are they arguing about? And that is Al-Kas Achas, Echad Omer, Shtayim Ve'Echad Omer, Chamesh. Shebei Shami Omer Nechliku, Eda Sama Ve'Zal Omer, Yesh Bechal Chamesh Tayim. Where it's subject to a Machlokas is the following. I have one set of Edom, and now I want to know what I'm hearing different reports from these two Edom. One says two, and the other says five. So over here now it gets trickier. Why? Because over here, remember, Aegis only comes in a pair. There's no testimony by one witness. I say that, by the way, knowing there are occasions in halacha where there can be testimony by one witness, but over here, we're going to assume the standard number two. And so what we need to do now is that we need to create kat edim. We have to create a group of edim. So over here, if one group says two and the other group says five, each one can survive independent of the other. And now, all we're doing is just simply taking the common denominator, which is two. That's fine. That's easier. Over here, however, we have to unify these two people in order to create a kadedim. And the only way of unification is only by saying, well, I know he said two and I know he said five, but you know, including five is two. So can't we go ahead now and combine the two together? That's a trickier combination. And the Gemara says that's the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, no, he can't. And Beis Hillel says, yes, he can. Amar Rav, HaKol Modim B'mona. Rav makes the following cryptic statement. So, we have now so far gone over our Mishnah, gone over our Braisa, two different versions of the Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now the Gemara goes over a statement by Rav, cryptic. Rav says that, look, if we're counting, we have agreement. Okay? If you understood at this point in time, you're good. It's really cryptic. It's not clear what he meant. In fact, the remainder of the Gemara for today's daf is going to go over what exactly did Rav mean by that. So Amalei Rav Chama Rav Chista Mai Kamar. Okay, so let's wrap our heads around what Rav meant by that. Ilema Omer Chamesh Velo Shtayim VeEcher Omer Shtayim Velo Chamesh Hakamachshia Dade. So the Gemara says, look, if let's say we have the Eidin coming in, and one Eid says the number was two and not five. And the other aide says it was five and not two. Oh. So over here, so we have what's called Edom HaMachishim Zedzeh. And I know within the world of numbers, five includes the number two, but in other words, they're clearly at odds with one another. They are literally disagreeing with each other in terms of what the number that was that uttered. So Ella, so the Gemara says, so at that point in time, so I don't need Rav to teach me that in such a case there's agreement. Because if anything, in such a situation, obviously the Edom are at odds with one another, and there's no way to create alignment between those two Edom. So the Gemara says, Ela Echad Omer Echad Shtayim, Ve'Echad Omer Shalosh Arba Ve'Chamesh. So the Gemara says, the case of Rav is the following, and that is that one aid said, or let's say one group, let's go with one. One aid says, he said 1, 2. And the other aide says he said 3, 4, 5. So in other words, clearly there was a count. He didn't just simply say, I'm going to take on 2 Nazirios. He didn't just simply say, I'm going to take on 5 Nazirios. He actually counted it out. But now we're getting conflicting reports of how much did he count out to. One aide said he said the numbers 1 and 2. And the other aide said the numbers 3, 4, and 5. To which the Gemara's response is that if in fact that's the case, halamali. So the Hashta Yeshlamer Chamirta Amar Kilta Lo Amar. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. According to the one who said 3, 4, and 5. So in other words, that obviously is more chamor. Chamor over here does literally mean stricter, but chamor means look. In other words, it's more. Right? Once you said 3, 4, and 5, already in that of obviously is assumed the numbers 1 and 2. So if 1-8 says that here the numbers 3, 4, and 5, you don't think, even though it's not part of his testimony, you don't think that including that testimony is also the numbers 1 and 2? Meaning, so for the 1-8 who said 3, 4, and 5, if he's agreeing to the fact that 1 and 2 were there, it's just for whatever reason he didn't point that out. Either because he didn't hear it, but in other words, but it's included. 1 and 2 is included in 3, 4, and 5. Correct, correct. So the Amri b'Marava. So the Gemara says that in Eretz Yisrael they said Eina Chasha b'Amona. So the just one second. So Amri b'Marava Eina Chasha b'Amona. So in Eretz Yisrael they said that there's no Hachasha, meaning that when counting like what we just did, so that's not Edim Amachishim Zedzeh. So that's not considered Edim that actually are dissenting with one another, meaning that on the one who said 3, 4, and 5, including that is also going to be 1 and 2. And therefore, we're going to assume agreement that 3, 4, and 5, and the other says 1 and 2. So at least for 1 and 2, there is agreement, and therefore the Edim can be molded together, can be melted together. Yeah. Correct. In other words, Edim Zomimim is usually by criminal cases and civil cases. Right, happens to be. I'm doing Makos now. So the first perek. So So what happens to these religious testimonies that we're describing right now? I don't know.
Are they going to be forced to pay the korbanot had the guy been a nazir, or are they going to be a full nazir?
It's a great question. I don't know. Right. The Mishnayos focus only on criminal cases and civil cases. Right. And cases in which you can't do hazama, so therefore you give Makos. But over here, though, in such a testimony, it's strange. In other words, it's an unusual form of testimony. In Eretz Yisrael, they said no. In other words, it could be in Eretz Yisrael. It could be that in Eretz Yisrael they're just simply adopting the Shita of Basila. Okay, really unclear. The Gemara over here is unbelievably terse regarding what its conclusion is. We know the conclusion is that when you're counting it out, that's not disputing one another. Either because Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel don't disagree on this issue, alternatively, they're just simply siding with Beis Hillel. Okay.
You hold only two nazirim.
Yep. Okay. We have a new parak that we're going to start. And I know it's most of the Amud Beis. Okay, let's start the Mishnah. And we'll do the Mishnah, and then tomorrow I'm sure we're going to have to go over it again. But anyway, Misha Marini Nazir Vashama Chavir Vamar Vani. Okay, what we call Hatfasa. Okay, we've gone over Hatfasa numerous times in the Dharma, a lot in the Dharma. So here now, as we are beginning the fourth parak of the Masechta here in Nazir, so we start off with a little lesson in Hatfasa. And that is that somebody makes a neder, and then you say, yeah, you know what, sign me up as well. So without articulating the neder, but that's enough. In other words, you're being Matfis. So Misha Marini Nazir Vashama Chavir Vamar Vani. So the primary says, I'm going to be Nazir. And then the person next to him says, you know what? Okay, you're an influencer. I'm influenced. Sign me up as well. And he just simply utters the words Vani. That's sufficient. Meaning, because we have enough contextual clues over here that even though he uttered a singular word, nevertheless, in the context of what's happening over here, he clearly is signing up as well. Sign me up. So Vani. And I can have another person over there saying the same thing. In other words, it's not just one bystander, it's two bystanders. And each one of them adds the words Vani. So, kulam nazirim. So, mazel tov now that we have a zimun of nazirim. Okay, looking forward to saying that. Okay, good. So hutar rishon, hutar kulan, hutar archon, achron, hutar v'kulan asurin. And over here, once again, we've had examples of this time and again, and that is the link chains of one to the other. In other words, two is attaching to one, and three is attaching to two. So now, if one undoes his Nazirus, so basically because two is linked to one, two is basically saying, whatever happens to one, sign me up, I'm on board. For him becoming a Nazir, he becomes Mutter. Yeah, sign me up for that as well. Meaning two is just basically connected to one. The fate of two will be tied to one. the fate of three will be tied to two. So if one undoes his Naziros, so two will undo and three will undo. If three undoes his Naziros, which he can, in other words, at the time he said Va'ani, there were other circumstances that really it was a poor choice to make to become a Nazir. He goes to a Chacham, the Chacham's Matir's Neder, so fine. Nobody's tied to three. One and two are not tied to three. So when three undoes his Naziros, that only affects three and not one and two. And I know, by the way, the question to ask me right now is, what happens if two undoes his Naziros? In other words, is three attaching himself to two or three attaching himself to one? Okay. Hold that question. So the Hutar Rishon Hutar Kulan Hutar Achron Achron Mutar V'Kulan Astorin. Amar Harini Nazir V'Shem HaChaver V'Amar Pika P'Vaser K'Ser Arizan Nazir. So what if now the bystander says that whatever he says, sign me up, and my hair is going to be like his hair, so he's a Nazir. And obviously over here, it's another example of Atfasa. In fact, the Gemara is going to ask the question. It seems to be pretty obvious at this point in time. Hold that thought. The Gemara is going to discuss that. So, husband says, I'm going to be a Nazir. Wife says, what a great idea. I'm joining you. I'm going to be a Nazir as well. Husband has the right to be made for his wife's Nadarm. In fact, in this case, he can. And it's not going to affect his Naziris whatsoever. On the other hand, however, if his wife says that she's going to be a Nazira and her husband co-signs, and the husband says, what a great idea. I'm going to be a Nazir as well. There he can't be made for his wife's neder. Stay tuned. We're going to be discussing this at length. I know, right, good. If you want to explain the Mishnah right now, so by all means, I encourage you to do so, but stay tuned because I know the Gemara is going to be spending the time on this case. Sorry, I lost my spot. So, Eni Echolafa, Harini Nazir at the Amra Amen. So over here, very similar, the husband decides to be a Nazir. He asks his wife, you too? And she says, Amen. Yep, she says yes. So Mefer Shalav Shalav Kiyem. So fine. So again, even though he asked her, and even though she said Amen, but again, now he has the right to be made for a Neder. Okay? Admittedly, right now he's making her a little crazy, but that's not the point of the Mishnah. The point of the Mishnah is that he has the right to be made for. Now, let's say she starts off by saying, I'm going to be a Nazir. She turns to her husband and says, no. What do you say about it? He says, Amen. Amen meaning, I'm going to be a Nazir as well. So in such a situation, he can't be made for her neder. Again, I'm holding off on explaining why, because I know the Gemara is going to spend some time trying to explain this, and not just trying, but successfully explaining it. I'll wait for the Gemara to go ahead and present.
It's going to explain why we need a last.
Yeah, and right, and the Amen cases sound extraordinarily similar. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review. So the becoming a Nazir Nazira and outside of Eretz Yisrael, so it counts, but it doesn't count because of Tumas Amen. And therefore, when you go back into Eretz Yisrael, you have to do it again. Do what again? Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. How much you have to do again? Beis Hillel says the whole thing. Beis Shammai says just 30 days. Story with Hilni Amalka. She ended up being a Nazir for 21 years. According to Rabbi Yehuda, 14 years. Number one, certainly in the first reporting of Hilni Amalka, we were following the Shita of Beis Hillel. What about the second reporting, the Rabbi Yehuda reporting? So who is that following? So that was the discussion in the Gemara. Good. That was topic number one. Topic number two of today's daf. And that is Eidos. I have testimony that this guy committed to becoming a Nazir. Two Nazirios, five Nazirios. So I have a disagreement between the two. Between the two Eidim. Again, it's not clear. We have a Mishnah, we have a Braisa, whether we're talking about two sets of Eidim or we're talking about two people who are being mitzaref to become an Eidus. Okay, and two different versions of that, Mishnah versus Braisa. Anyway, and basically the question of the day is, do we subscribe to this idea of lowest common denominator in order to create agreement amongst these either two sets or two witnesses and put them together? So Beis Hillel says, yes, we can. In other words, we do subscribe to lowest common denominator. 2 and 5 equals 2. I know that's funny, but vis-a-vis lowest common denominator, if you're understanding me. And Beis Shammai says, no. 2 and 5 are not the same number. And in regarding Hitzdarfus of Eidus, we do not look at lowest common denominator. And then a discussion in the Gemara, whether or not What if they are clearly arguing with each other in terms of what the correct number is? That was one quick discussion, and another quick discussion, and that is Mona. What if the Edom actually tell us how the guy counted it out? 1, 2 said one aid. 3, 4, 5 says the other aid. What do we say under those circumstances? Is there a machlokus or is there no machlokus? And the Gemara, I know this is funny, the Gemara has a machlokus as to whether or not Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are going to be arguing over that case. In Eretz Yisrael, they said it very clearly that there's no hachasha when it comes to minyan. And then finally, we started the fourth parak. Really, all I did was I read the Mishnah. I said not even a simple pshat in the Mishnah, knowing the Gemara is going to be discussing most of what was said in the Mishnah.